Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, Dragon fans. Hugh the podcast editor here, and just a couple of quick things before we get started. By now I'm sure you've heard of When Hell Freeze Over. The brand new campaign by the same old gang of idiots is being broadcast live on Twitch. It chronicles the adventures of Friezo during the events of Season 5, and you can catch that live on Twitch on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. For that and the VODs, just head over to twitch.tv/dragonfriends. We're also releasing the audio from that show as a Patreon exclusive. For just $5 a month, you can grab that and more at the Dragon Friends Patreon. For more info, check out thedragonfriends.com. But for now, here's the show.
Without giving too much away, Carlo's playing a lot of characters tonight.
Oh, but they'll all be the same.
We happy crew, we joyfully join the fray. No daring do, we wouldn't pursue, but thinking it through, that isn't the dragon way.
The offices of Elsabet Truscott stand proudly in the money quarter of Old Daggerford, a stately old brownstone typical of the homes of the small but powerful upper class of the otherwise rustic trading town. Truscott has asked you, the dragon friends, here because she suspects the murder of one of her clients, Constant Hofferman, who died a day before. For all his miserliness, Hofferman was a man of considerable wealth, and from the first floor balcony of Truscott's office, you can see the gloomy old Hofferman House, one of the largest private buildings in the quarter. The Hofferman family exerted considerable influence on the town for generations, but centuries of misfortune, greed, and disaster have reduced them to a shadow of their former wealth, and most of the present-day family have long since fled the town for fairer shores. Hofferman's death is the end of an era for Daggerford, but also perhaps a time for renewal. His will suggests that he has left something to the town itself, and as the new dukes, it is your responsibility to represent. The will is to be read at noon in just 5 hours' time at Rivershine Hall, assuming, that is, that his solicitor, Miss Truscott, arrives to present it. That is, of course, not a given. Miss Truscott fears for her life, worried that the same cult operatives that she suspects killed Hofferman are now after her. She's turned to the dragon friends for protection, and as a result, and Hing, I just want you to tell me if I'm getting any of this wrong, she is now currently being escorted with her hands tied into a waiting carriage driven by a cult operative to be delivered to the mysterious cult leader known as the Herald as part of your character's plan.
Hang on.
With us in tow.
But, where...
You can come.
Yeah, but... Isn't she... Don't they... Haven't we convinced them that she's one of them as well?
No, they've come to kidnap her.
And then what did I do?
You said... Yeah, I know, I'm here... I'm part of... We're all part of the cult,
I said I'm part
right?
of the cult.
And then he stabbed the other cop.
Great.
Removing your last ally. And now you said, we'll come with you to see the Herald.
Right.
And he said, great, we have to take her to the Herald at once.
Right, so
and
what...
And you are now boarding a City Watch carriage.
Uh-huh.
And he's about to get up to the front to uh-huh. drive you to wherever this Herald is, with her in chains in tow.
So I often, sometimes when we do these things, there's a lot of moving parts, and sometimes we get confused about what's going on, David.
Really?
Have we sort of given the baddies the thing they want? Is that what's happening?
Oh, look, that's one interpretation for sure.
In another right. interpretation, you've got a lot of blood on his hands that he wasn't expecting to get on today, so that's a bit of chaos in their plans.
So he probably feels guilty about having to stab his friend in the neck.
He doesn't seem it.
Why don't you ask him? Let's wheedle away at that. All right. So is everyone's in the...
He was about to get up to the front to drive the carriage, but you can grab him before he does.
Ah, sir! Sir! May I speak to you 1 second before you away on this carriage?
We don't have a lot of time, but sure...
Before, when you stabbed that man in the neck,
uh-huh.
watched him bleed out.
Sure.
That affect your psyche at all? Do you have any sort of weaknesses as a result of that?
It's really, really strange question, man.
You're feeling vulnerable at all at the sort of taking of a human's life?
I feel a bit sleepy, but I think that's...
Sleepy, you say?
Right, did you get everything you wanted out of that, Hing?
Dragon so friends,
everybody
we have a plan.
Everybody gathers themselves into the carriage, and as you embark up the steps into the carriage, you see, glaring at you with recrimination in her eyes, the gagged and tied up form of Elsabet Truscott.
Baston winks at her. Bobby will use his secret brain speech. What's the name for that?
Message.
Message. All right.
Jeffrey Rush was great in that movie.
Quite the same reading. His brain speech is just going to say, like, this is part of the plan. This will get us closer to the truth. And your life is in our hands. Don't worry.
She shakes and shakes urgently and tries to spit the gag out. There's no... The guy's at the front. You're just the only ones in the carriage.
Oh, so we can take the gag off her
if
mouth.
If you want.
I do that.
So she splutters and spits it out. And she's like, you can't take me to them. This is what they want.
Ah, don't you worry. Our friend Bakenote here has perfect plan. And then she looks at Bakenote with thumbs up. Bakenote playing like five-sided chess here.
Yeah, most people are used to playing chess on
There's a lurch and the carriage starts board. To move. Keep going.
Well, you see, most people are used to playing chess on a four-sided board. I prefer the pentagram. Pentagram? Is that what it's called? Pentagon.
She's like, oh my God, I'm going to die.
Banknote coyly winks at Truscott.
Stop winking at me, everyone!
Wait. What if I acquire a cunning disguise? Yeah? What if I were to dress up as a lady? This specific lady. And then I'd go in and I'd be like, oh no, please don't kill me. And then I'd kill them! Ha ha!
Yes, we could, if we put a bag on your head, maybe.
Great plan.
Clothes swap!
You're gonna need, you are going to need a persuasion check to get her to go along with this. Okay. But it's DC 10 because she doesn't have a better idea. What are you? A 15.
15.
Clothes swap.
It's a good song.
It's a clothes swap. All right.
Baston, you're changing clothes with Elsabet Truscott?
Yeah.
All right.
And chains, I assume, like wrapping them?
Yeah, I'll do it, but I'll do it so that when I want to take them off, I can just be like, hua, and do something cool.
And how are you disguising...
Head?
Her as you.
Oh
yes.
No, because... They wouldn't know Baston looks like.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to use disguise self to disguise myself as Baston, and she can disguise herself as Bobby and wear my clothes.
Foolproof!
But then who's going to be Bobby?
She will be. I'll be Baston.
So, I think at this point, Banknote and Filge look at each other and like...
Clothes! <up! laughs>
All right, everybody swaps clothes.
Baston, right, you fucking guys.
Okay. Everybody starts.
What kind of armor do I have now?
You're not wearing leather orc, half orc barbarian armor.
What have I got on?
Filge, you have an acolyte's robes, an artificer's robes. Bobby Pancakes,
I've got disguise self. So
you
I'm
just disguise self, and you take the form of Baston.
Yep.
Baston, you take her high necked Victorian style collared dress.
Do I feel good?
Oh, you feel so good.
Oh.
It feels...
Ooh, a little tight around the midriff, but...
As she quickly gets into... Bobby, you still need to take your clothes off so she can
wear
it. As she gets into your leather...
Can you cut off a bit of your hair and glue it to my upper lip?
Sure.
Thank you.
Is that what she asked for?
Yeah. What are we going to do this? Imagine a ride.
But why not be really small on her because he's a half-sized person?
Yeah, she's
on her knees, she'll just put my shoes on her knees and like...
And we got to put a bag on Baston's head. Does anyone have a bag?
By taking more steps, you've made her costume worse.
I have a... Banknote has a bag of holding.
You need a bag to put on your head, do you?
Sure, why not?
Enjoy the bag! And Banknote flings the bag on
Is there
her.
Not a corpse in that bag of holding?
Yeah, there's couple of... There's three corpses.
What cool secrets can you see?
So tied up, Bastion has just time for his neck to stiff bolt upright and be like, no, don't move! And then he's covered by a bag and just... He sits there, shaking slightly... And
I don't actually know what does the inside of a bag of holding look like?
It's another dimension of ceaseless time, an impossible space.
So is kind Baston's musty. Is Baston's face rubbing up against bodies?
So if imagine your head just pokes through like a portal into the vast indifference of like an uncaring universe, and floating around you were just three dead bodies slowly tumbling.
Meanwhile, here's inside the bag.
Can he hear what's going on outside through the bag?
He's in the cold indifference of space. But so just as
it doesn't seem worth it.
Yeah. Also, if you scream inside a bag of
no
holding,
one can hear you.
Can anyone hear you on the outside of the bag?
No.
It's just a vac. It's you're just screaming into
it's a
space.
Void.
Right. Okay. So as far as we're concerned, he's just very tense but quiet.
Oh. And as the bag goes over his head, there is a thump and a lurch, and the carriage jars to a sudden stop. And it seems we all just stand still.
I
and
stick my head out.
Man, your cat-like reflexes.
I stick my head out the window and
Very
see what I can see.
Filch moves aside the heavy curtains and peeks outside. And she can see, with his back to her, the figure of a tall, broad-shouldered man in a beautiful old woolen peacoat, surveying the horizon. And he spins around, and you see a thin pencil mustache, handsome chiseled features, and an otherwise quite delicate body
Ooh.
Of Mr. Jovian Hofferman, played by you, Carlo Ritchie.
Good evening, friends. I came just in the nick of time. I don't know if you know, but I think you are about to be ensnared in a wicked net of cults. Jovian Hofferman, rescuer, friend to all, and currently owner of the carriage that has rammed you. Good evening.
And you can see, indeed, there is a carriage that rammed into the side of your carriage with a huge figure in a big, heavy, rain-slicked coat. Scowling at the reins.
Me name Filge.
Fucking so unnecessary. I'm furious.
Me so glad to meet you, Hoffman.
And I give him a little kiss on the head.
Yeah. And then don't make me mad.
and Filge goes ha ha ha. Oh, dumb tricks! Me name Lion Shield Banknote, and me an apothecary or something.
Well, Filch and Banknote, was it? I don't know if anyone's told you this, but it would almost seem as if by your girth and size that your clothes, Mr. Banknote, would be better suited to Miss Filch here, and Filch, your clothes perhaps better suited to Filch. But that's just a detail that I happen to notice in this very minute.
He has a fashionista's eye.
I'm the best at meeting you. Pleased to meet you. Baston here. My name?
Sorry, what was your surname?
Baston Karate Kick. Kavitch.
Meanwhile, in the bag.
Another body flies by.
I am Elizabeth Truscott. Get me out of here.
Miss Truscott. I barely recognize you, Miss Truscott. You've become quite hirsute.
These idiots almost handed me over to the cult. I represented your father.
Yes, I was right on my way to see you at this very instant. Quite fortuitous indeed that you would be on board this carriage with a cult member.
Except that you have ruined our plans to track and locate the Herald and infiltrate the cult.
Ah, but what is a plan when weighed against a good stiff drink in a warm house? Not quite the wager, I'd say. Now let's all rush away. Go on.
Dave.
He beckons you into his carriage. You realize now that the cop carriage is essentially ruined.
Quickly, bring your sack.
Where's the guy who driving the car?
You look down and you can see there is a figure with a broken neck slumped on the side of the car.
We were kind of using for information and you went and broke his
neck. I'm just going to go and quickly like search his body for clothes.
Oh no, not me. You haven't met my good friend Mr. Eli. Quiet fellow, but I tell you this, what he makes up for in what he doesn't have in conversation, he makes up for in pure unrelated violence.
Searching the body, make for me an investigation check.
That's a one, I roll again because I'm lucky. 12 plus.
Yep, okay, you can see that there on the body there is a necklace that has the sign of the lampwick, which is now what you realize is this cult symbol that they all have.
I'm going to grab that.
You grab the necklace, and also there is a crumpled piece of paper. And opening it up, you see instructions that have been written in Thieves' Cant, which luckily you can read, that instruct them to come to the Truscott House at night. Not to return without the journals or evidence of the location thereof.
Journals.
Excuse me, friends. I have an idea before we go with this. This drink does sound like quite an appeasing thing to do. Excuse me. Bastard, may I have that bag back, please?
He can't hear you.
Yes, what do you want?
All right, so Banknote's going to grab the bag back from Baston, who is still wearing Truscott's clothes, and then Banknote's going to take one of the bodies.
Well, let's do this one at a step at a time, because I think the first is going to have a reaction. So you pull the bag off Baston's head.
And he goes, oh, hello! I'm just here to read a will. I'm a lawyer, you know.
How long has elapsed for Baston?
He's had centuries.
It's a lifetime. Yeah.
And Truscott's like, we're not doing that anymore.
I don't know who you are.
Oh, God.
Oh, such a handsome. Oh, a halfling. How quick.
But when they come back to find this, they're going to be searching for her body. So give me the bag. I'll get a body out of that and dress it up in your clothes.
No.
All right. I guess I'm getting out of these clothes. And into none.
You get out my clothes.
Oh, my God.
So, Banknote's going to take one of the bodies out of the bag.
Yes.
And dress it up like Elspeth Truscott.
How's she going to get dressed? I hate myself for asking this.
What's sorry?
What's she going to wear?
Well, she's already wearing
clothes. I'm going to take
the clothes
dead,
from the body.
The dead guard's clothes, the policeman's clothes.
Okay. Why don't, actually, Baston's, nobody's wearing Baston's clothes because I was naked and then I did disguise self. So he can put his clothes back on.
You got naked? No, I'm fine. I'll take that guy.
No, but then we'll be matching.
I don't mean to interrupt. I'm rather well healed. If you need clothes, I can clothe you. I can get you a new pair of boots if you like. Really, you don't have to steal them off a corpse. I just wanted to say that. Don't mind me. I'll be here in the carriage. Just let me know when you're ready to go. All right. Okay.
All right. Well,
Twinsies.
Wait, what are you wearing?
I'm disguised
as
you.
No. Okay, 20 minutes. 5 minutes later, and the impressive double doors of old Hoffman House in the Money Quarter creak open, and you see the elderly family retainer, a butler by the name of Mr. Smiggins, crack the door open as Jovian bursts into the house.
Smiggins, these are my guests. Make sure they're fed and drinked.
And clothed.
And yes, we'll need, I suppose, 4 sets of clothes. And please, would you get Mrs. Truscott a new dress? Her other one smells horridly, like it's been trapped in a void with a body.
Smiggins pulls you into
it. Oh, I'll do that, all right, sir. I'll do that more.
Good man, Smiggins. Don't mind Smiggins. He's got a strange air of evil about him. But he mixes a rather good gin of the Jupiter, if you know what I'm saying.
Smiggins leads you into an adjoining circular drawing room where you can see a small...
circular.
Ooh, how do you hang paintings?
Is that a question for Smiggins?
By the neck.
You are menacing.
A small piano... some artfully arranged sofas and chaise lounges and chairs, and dominating it is a giant, huge portrait of the patriarch himself, Constant Hoffermann, a man you presume is now demised, and a well-appointed sideboard. And
well-appointed cyborgs?
I think you heard me, Benjamin.
He said sideboard.
Me boop!
And with Smiggins in his wake, Jovian charges over to the sideboard and starts mixing himself a Calamshite double standard.
Nothing quite beats a Calamshite double standard, except a triple standard. Oh, goodness me.
Get me that then. I want that one, the better one.
Very good. Don't mind the picture of the old man. His eyes seem to follow you everywhere, but, you know, the thing about following you everywhere is that you can make them look where you don't want him to look.
What?
Look, if you'll just excuse me for a second, I have to have Mr. Eli fetch in my trunks. I'll leave you with Smiggins for a moment. I'm sure the rest of the family will be here momentarily.
And Smiggins actually explains that your aunt and cousin have not yet arrived.
Can I just do an investigation check on that portrait?
Yeah.
That's a 9.
You get pluses.
Plus what? Smartness?
Go to investigation.
Oh, yeah.
Plus,
yeah, okay, that's a 15.
Okay, so the portrait is of a old man. You can see by his ruddy cheeks that he looks, despite his age, like he is a unstoppable force, like healthy, vivacious. But he has very, very cold eyes hidden under a stern, a giant top hat.
Okay.
Right. Also, you notice that in the picture, in the portrait, at a distance, almost scared of him, you can see two boys and a girl, and a wife, presumably figure as well.
Like in the deep background.
Yeah. He's in the foreground.
Portrait of me. Right. Put the family in somewhere.
It'd be really funny if he made them like pose for the portrait as well, though. Like when he was getting his portrait done, he stood there.
He definitely did.
And they just stand there.
Too close.
Mr. Smiggins there. Hello.
Yes.
I've been looking through your bar here, and it seems you've got a lot of refined whiskies, but you don't seem to have the banknote whiskies from the Rutherglen banknotes.
Well, that would be a Floshen whiskey, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, ever since the marriage, the Floshen spirits haven't really been allowed in here.
Smiggins, stop scaring them with your story.
And you can see that Jovian is back, and behind him, the impassive man of few words, Mr. Eli, has a huge steel-bound giant wooden trunk.
Take it up to my rooms with you, Mr. Eli, and careful that it doesn't bump against the paint. I don't want to have to take it out of your hide.
And Eli, with a grunt, goes up the stairs.
Oh, my, that chest looked heavy. Does little Eli need a hand?
No, I think he'll do just all right.
Oh, really?
He won't do fine, but he'll do just all right.
So,
as he talks, he mixes quickly for himself a Calamshite double standard.
Hmm. You can really taste the double. Yes, welcome. The old Hoffman Estate. What a place, isn't it?
Very nice.
You know I'm to read the will of your deceased father at noon.
Yes. What a terrible business. What a terrible business.
And you're just in town, are you?
Yes, I got your message and I made my way here as quickly as I could. Took the old teleport, did?
There is a teleportation circle attended by the priests of Mystra, presumably that's how he got here, because Jovian explains he was working in Baldur's Gate when the message came.
Yes, got it at my offices there in Baldur's Gate, got over here pretty quick smart, packed up a few things, as you can imagine. Just a couple of suits, the odd shirt. Well, you don't need to know my baggage.
What about the carriage? Do you get a carriage to the teleport?
No,
or
but
you pick it up when you arrive?
I had one hired here, called the office ahead and said, pick one up for me. And they did. Susan's good there.
Just on that, how did you know that we were on our way and the exact route we were taking with Miss Hoffermann?
Truscott.
Truscott.
Beg yours.
I was on my way to see Miss Truscott myself. As you know, she has the will in her possession.
And he flourishes a letter that is are made on the same card in the same hand as the one that invited you to her office.
And I assume that you were here on behalf of your brother as well?
Yes, unfortunately, poor Roman can't join us. He's off with the orchestra.
Yeah, he's touring with the Baldurian Philharmonic.
The Baldurian Philharmonic.
Yes, I heard something similar. Oh my God, the will! The will! And she suddenly sits up, bolt upright. I left the will at the office.
You idiot!
You had one job.
You kidnapped me!
I did nothing of the sort. You had free will. You can't blame everyone for your life choices.
As he does this, there is a banging on the door, and Smiggins turns around, and he opens the doors, and you can see it's beginning to rain, and another figure stalks in, an older woman, in a dark, almost mourning gown.
Well, it is a long time indeed since I have been locked out of the family house. Smiggins, you devil, what the hell have you been doing? Get me a gin and serve it cold. I will have it in my rooms, which I imagine will be the cubby. I don't intend to sleep in the house tonight. Good evening, strangers. Pay me no heed. I will be in my room should you need me. Hello, dear Jovian. Is your brother here?
Jovian passes her a gin and tonic he started making as he saw her arrive.
No, Aunt
Just
Margaret.
A quick question, Carlo. The seven characters you're playing tonight, will they all have the same voice? Or?
This is Margaret, Hopperman's older sister.
Can we request a voice from Margaret?
She's got a little bit of a German accent.
Does she, Carlo? Because I couldn't hear.
No, I can hear it. Like it. I'm enjoying what he's putting down. You can request voices for other characters.
Carlo has prepared voices for all of these characters.
Okay.
They've got very subtle linguistic differences.
And there's a knock on the door as another one arrives. Diametra, the younger niece. A timid girl in a simple white dress.
Oh, it's just horrible. Horrible, horrible. It's worse than when Mummy died. Smiggins, get me a whiskey.
Smiggins passes a whiskey as Jovian takes up his father's old position by the mantelpiece, surveying the room where those Hufferman's now still incontinent are assembled together for the first time in years.
Wait, who's incontinent?
Incontinent?
Incontinent. On continent, Oh.
On continent is the opposite of incontinent.
It is, isn't it?
It means you're not shitting at all.
On the continent.
Okay. Oh, on the continent. Gotcha.
Cousin Dimmy, so good to see you. My grief does not suit you well, cousin dear.
It's just like when Mummy died. Oh dear. Hello, Jovian. Hello, Jovian. I'm so sorry.
Yes, Jovian, it is. It is Jovian. There you are, pet. Go have a seat, cousin.
The family obviously have a lot to talk about, so while they're having a conversation, what are you guys up to?
Which one of them killed him?
Do we know the...
I did, and I'd do it again, too.
Oh, that was easy.
Are we talking to Truscott now?
You all have drinks. You can talk to anyone you want. You and Truscott are standing at a distance while the family is having a slight, quick reunion, which sounds like...
And then we came by carriage, and it was rather nice.
Just like when Mummy died.
Yes. It's exactly like that, I suppose.
Truscott, do you know the cause of death? Of the Mr. Hoffman.
Yes, well, as far as I know, we're still waiting on exact results from the coroner.
And to which Smiggins clears his throat.
Ahem.
And he hands a small piece of paper to Truscott.
Ah, thank you, Smiggins. A little further away, because Smiggins is like this. And so he backs up and she reads it.
She looks at it and it tells her that the coroner's report has been finished and is at the city mortuary.
But as far as we know, outside of the details that the coroner can give us, he was in the hail of health for some time, and then his health just declined rather rapidly until his death.
Yes, he's always been rather well until he wasn't. Isn't that the way life goes? Another drink, anyone?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Was that Jovi talking then?
That's Jovi.
Okay, that's
cool.
Jovi.
Yeah, just checking.
Baston is going to go talk to Mr. Truscott and say, so the will be read, but you didn't bring it. Should I? Does someone need to get it? I can definitely be trusted with tasks.
But isn't it in a safe, though, isn't it? Yeah. That we can't open?
I fear no safe.
It's in a lockbox of guarding that you, when you last saw this, the will was locked inside a lockbox in her safe room that required a code word that only the family can say.
Oh.
So at some point between now and noon, me and one of the family, or you and one of the family, will have to go to my offices and retrieve the will.
Dragon Huddle.
Okay.
You too, Banknote.
Yes!
Probationary Huddle inclusion.
Should I come as well?
No, Jovian!
All right.
Make me another triple thingy.
Very well.
Are you going to have a second triple standard?
Yes.
Okay. You are now drunk, which is disadvantage on triple.
We really shouldn't be doing this without cinnamon.
The horse.
I thought you meant me triple standard. Jovian, make my next triple standard have a little sprinkle cinnamon.
I'll see if cook has any in the kitchens.
Thank you.
He wanders off.
Now, you think maybe we can trick them into getting the safe word out of them? The code word?
Yes.
Different. Different.
In many ways, the safe word is the opposite of the code word.
So.
Me fear meddling.
One. So we need to go. Are we going to split? Are we going to go with them, or are we? I don't think we should let.
I think we should all go together with en famille with everyone.
Just to be clear, so there's a couple of leads that have opened up for you so far. So there is a coroner waiting at the city mortuary with a report on the death. There's obviously the rest of the house and these characters that are here: sister, cousin Diametra, Aunt Marguerite, and Jovian Hofferman. And, of course, Smiggins.
Don't forget Smiggins. Oh, he's got knives and guns.
And cut that out, would you, Smiggins?
Stab, stab.
And
Smiggins goes back to subtly sabotaging a step on the grand stair.
And the note sent to the bad dude, the lamplicker? The lamplicker said that they wanted Hofferman's journals.
Hofferman's journals, yeah, that's
so maybe
he was a historian or something.
Bobby, okay, his ambassador goes, Bobby, pretend to be really, to have to go to the bathroom, and I'll say, oh, my friend is sick, and I'll take you to the bathroom, and you can go in the bathroom, and I'll stand outside the bathroom, and once you're inside the bathroom, you can sneak out the window, and then go upstairs and find the journals.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Who are you saying goodbye to?
To Phil, to Banknote. You guys should. What do you want to do?
Me gonna talk to. Me think Diametra a bit of a weak link with. So me gonna try and weasel some info out of her.
Excellent. Okay, so, and Banknote, are you going to go with someone or your own plan?
Banknote will stay with the party, keep his eyes on everyone.
Okay, great. So you all take your drinks, and the drinks, by the way, are excellent. The atmosphere is convivial, and you all start feeling much better. And anyone who's lost any hit points goes back to full hit points.
Quick check up on what convivial means.
Like, I thought it was, like, nice and good
warm
company.
And friendly? Yeah.
Okay, that's good. I'm into that. Yeah, that sounds nice.
So you're all back to maximum hit points.
Okay, great.
And there was some cinnamon in one of the cellars. Wouldn't you just know it? There you are.
Much improved.
Now, Diametra's rooms are upstairs, so you could follow her if you want.
Has she gone up to her
room? She went upstairs, yeah.
Okay. Me gonna...
As you try to walk out of the room, Smiggins quickly intercepts.
Well, you wouldn't go wandering around here by yourself. Accidents are liable to happen.
Now, Smiggins,
he's sharpening a meat cleaver with a big knife.
Smiggins, put that back out in the butchery. Goodness me.
Oh.
Now, was it Banknote? Is that right? Am I seeing...
No, forget all that. I'm Filch.
Right.
Baffling.
What a curiosity. Listen, if you're looking around the house, perhaps I could give you a tour.
Perhaps, Jovian, you can go and get me some nutmeg, because me think this could be improved a little bit, and maybe get off me tail a little bit.
Make for me...
You're coming on too strong.
Make for me an intimidation check.
When Phil's just drunk, she thinks everyone's flirting with
you. You have advantage on intimidation, don't forget. Oh, 20!
Oh.
Woo.
Very.
Don't I have disadvantage from being drunk?
You have disadvantage from being drunk, but you had that cancels your advantage, so you actually... Okay, 20's fine.
My word. I'll fetch the nutmeg at once. The house is yours, m'lady.
And he follows Smiggins into the servants' quarters. So
Is anyone left in the family left in the
Marguerite? I think is
Marguerite is sitting. Room. No, no.
Don't mind me. I'm sitting by myself and having a wonderful time.
So Marguerite is sitting in the corner.
Okay, so just do
with a, and if it was possible for a rain cloud of gloom to be on top of somebody. It's raining down on her.
Banknote's still there, so Banknote can distract Marguerite if you want.
Okay, well, are we going to do our plan anyway?
Also,
Bobby's still dressed as Baston.
I'm just going straight up the stairs without the whole bathroom.
But regardless, Bobby says, one of us has a brown donkey braying at the bathroom door.
Also, I should point out that you guys haven't established where the bathrooms are, how they relate in the house.
It's me. I have to do it.
Or is it me? Do I have to do it?
We'd both like to go now.
So where do we go? Or we could be in for some double trouble.
Don't make me do it here.
If you're looking for the water closet, no. You'll find it under the main stairs. Not a great design choice, but that was my father for you.
Okay, well, we'll go, but we'll take turns. Rest assured.
Or will we go in together? We're brothers. We share everything, including poopy times.
You know, that's... I really don't need to know.
Dave, I want to do a performance check to make it very convincing that I need to go. To really sell it. One. Oh, no.
Are you... You don't really strike me as a man who needs to go to the toilet.
Oh, rest assured.
I mean, your brother looks like he needs to go. Maybe you should stay here.
Listen, this is embarrassing, but I can't go without him. I need someone to hold my hand.
You know what? The little brothers here were very much like that. They were always inseparable, always going off and going, oh, look, there's a duck in the pond. Let's look at the duck together.
Well, we have a big brown duck to look at, so we're going to be on our way.
And with Bobby holding his butt, the two of them race out. Now, at the top of the stairs, you soon see there are doors, and one of the doors has a floral D, which you presume is for Diametra.
I knock on it, and I really softly... Knock, knock, knock.
You're not Smiggins?
Not Smiggins. Your girlfriend, Filch. New friend, but friend all the same. Time for some girl talk. Shove on out of the way and let's sit on the bed.
Yeah, yes.
Filch just pushes Diametra off most of the bed and she sort of perches on the end of the bed as Filch sits and the entire bed sags.
And please make note that Filch is sitting like this. And kicking her legs with she's cupping her chin in her hands and she's like waving her legs in the air.
Mm-hmm.
You do it like me. You sit like me. We girl talk.
If that's what you need.
It what you need, girlfriend. Now, me hear you're pretty sad about your uncle.
Oh, we were ever so close.
Weird.
Old uncle.
Filch can't help but assert dominance even when she's trying to be nice.
And then she realizes it's a bit harsh, so she says, girlfriend.
No, you're right. Nobody really understood it, even my husband's family. They thought that I was rather too close with my uncle, but I just loved him so much. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be so emotional. He would have wanted me to be strong, I suppose.
So you related to him, or you married into this family, or what?
No, I'm his uncle. I'm his...
He was my uncle. Okay.
I give her some pats on the head.
Oh, you're hurting me.
All right, while that's happening, meanwhile, in an otherwise empty drawing room, Marguerite is sitting, staring into her third gin and tonic when she spots loitering nearby in huge, giant leather armor, the Artificer Lion Shield banknote.
Marguerite. Horrible business death in the family, isn't it? So horrible, you know, especially in a rich family. You know, when my father and mother were killed by, oh, assassins, I said to myself, I'm going to solve the mystery of what happened. You know, and I did. And I thought to myself, if there's one person here who could solve this mystery, it's probably me.
What is your name there?
My name is Lion Shield Banknote, and when I'm not tinkering things and making other contraptions for your pleasure or pain...
Wait, what?
So it's a good slogan.
No, so Excuse me.
So explain that. So the pleasure is the gins and brandies. Is it...
Yeah, the pain's...
This is where the safe word comes in.
Are you talking about arcanic dildonics?
I found in my notebook just the words, like in pages ago, I found the words Daggerford Sex Olympics, ? I'm sure someone here can tell me what that means, but I have no recollection of that being a thing. But I felt it important enough to write down.
My name is Lion Shield Banknote.
Yes, you've said that.
You've also
said a good many other things, which, quite frankly, I don't have the time to discuss, nor the pleasure or inclination to discover more about. Let me tell you this one thing about this family. They might appear to be otherwise, well, rich, good, fine people. This is a den of vipers here. A den of vicious snakes, all of the heads twitching away and writhing like that little duck that young Jovian boy killed out in the pond.
And you are the queen of the vipers herself, I imagine.
If I should be a queen, then let me be a queen. But no, old Hofferman had me shipped off away for a little place to become a priestess. But that's just how it all goes here in the Hoffman family. To protect the family, we must cut off the snake's arms. Yes.
You hear a voice at the door. Oh, Marguerite, don't let Aunt Marguerite scare you. She had the time of her life in Barovia and came back a made woman in the priesthood.
Jovian, you know, I've always liked your brother more. There, I've said it. Oh, you wound me, Aunt Marguerite. Don't pay her any attention. Now, was your name Banknote, or are you Filch?
No, I'm the real Banknote.
Listen, Banknote.
Of the Rotherglen Banknotes.
Pay no attention to Aunt Marguerite. She's a sad old woman who I once loved. There, I said it, Marguerite. I won't say it again. Yeah, good, I didn't even need to hear it.
One second, though, she says. Did you say that you were from Rutherglen?
Yes.
The Floshin Estate.
Yes, quite so. I am the heir to the banknote fortune.
Is this not a... You won't find a lot of sympathy for you here in the house of Hofferman with the name Floshin flying about the place. Ever since young Diametra, Cousin Dimmy, as you so like to say, Jovian, and I'll say it if I like. Yes, Jovian. Now, ever since Cousin Dimmy married out to the Floshins, there's not been a lot of good blood here in the Hofferman house. You could say.
Plenty of blood in the Hofferman house. Plenty of blood in the Hofferman house. And he's sharpening a gun.
Smiggins put that back in the butchery.
Meanwhile, in a classic caper, opening up the toilet door and then letting it slam and then tiptoeing up the stairs, Bobby and Baston, dressed as Baston and Baston, you find yourselves alone and unattended in Hofferman House with the run of the mansion.
After you, Baston.
Oh, where? If I were a journal, where would I hide? In a desk? I go looking for desks.
In a drawer? I go looking for drawers.
Okay. But maybe in like an office-y study kind of thing. So should we upstairs?
Well, actually, his sister said that it was a weird design to put the toilet under the stairs.
Yeah.
So I think Bobby's going to go in and just do a quick check for just a quick investigation check of the under the stairs toilet.
Okay, yeah, great.
Just in case there's sort of secret passages or anything. No, that's
you
a fire.
You get plus something.
Oh.
If Baston is helping you, you have
yeah,
advantage.
I'm a look too.
Okay. Ha!
Yeah, 16.
Okay, so you get 24. 17. So you investigate the privy. And straight away, you see that it is sort of strange. It's making use of a negative space in the house. But despite the fact that the stairs are huge, luxurious, and over-appointed, the privy is quite cramped. And with an expert thieves' eye, you soon realize that the wall of the privy is much closer to you, and the room is smaller than it needs to be in this space.
Ho, ho, ho.
They haven't used this space very efficiently.
You gonna grand designs it?
Yeah. No, it's not for me, but do what you want.
So Bobby's gonna sort of feel around for like levers or secret buttons.
As there's just this, there is...
you flush the toilet.
Yeah, I was gonna say it.
There are taps, there's the toilets, there's a small bowl of mints. There is a huge mirror for quite a small space.
There's a little painting of a dog.
Does the dog have human eyes? All right.
So we're just pressing things and nothing's happening.
I'm going to sort of go up to the mirror and my hands around it, push on it.
Okay, as soon as you press the mirror, as your hands move, you realize that the mirror itself isn't fixed into the frame and the mirror itself turns.
Oh.
And as you continue to spin the mirror slowly as it turns on a large
and
brain...
And Baston's looking at himself and he's turning.
That's not how mirrors work.
A window that has been cut into the piece of mirrored glass opens up as you slide into view a mirror, a window that's cut into the glass.
All right, I go, yeah, Team Baston. And I high-five Baston. And
beyond, you can see narrow stairs leading up.
Okay, I head on up.
Me too, sneaking.
Okay, you sneak up those stairs. Make a stealth check if you're sneaking.
Sneaking? Yeah,
it's like
that's
a 20
good.
something pretty good.
So you're both Nine. Sneaking up the stairs?
Yep.
And
yep.
Baston got 17 and you got a 7?
No, I got...
He got 17, I got 9.
Okay, so Bobby sneaks up the stairs with cat-like grace.
Sneaking,
says Baston as he walks up the stairs. And you walk into a room and straight away you see that the room overlooks a beautifully well-appointed library and it has a piece of glass that you get by the sense of the light shining through it that is a one-way mirror and otherwise this is what looks like a small workshop. There's a bench, there's a small cabinet of books and there is a locked case, a large upright locked case standing next to the desk.
In our secret room or on the other side of the one-way mirror?
On the other side, you can just see a beautiful galleried library that's obviously part of the house.
Okay. Oh, but there's nothing in this room that we're in.
Yeah, all the stuff.
All that stuff. Yeah.
Okay, Bobby's going to take a crack at the lock.
Yep. With your thieves' tools?
Yep.
Ooh.
That's a...
three?
Yeah, that's not good.
It's a... You know, you look at it and...
Do I get advantage?
No, you can't be
But I want it.
I'm going to try and kick it off, Dave.
Okay.
14.
All right, giving up all pretense of stealth.
Plus 6, 21.
Baston. Just as I was about to say to Bobby, although you can't open it, it looks like a simple tuning key to a piano or piola would open it. Baston goes, yeah, and kicks the wooden crate. It splinters. There's a loud crack, and it snaps open.
I yell out, oh, what a loud boop!
Downstairs, Jovian is still with Blind Shield Banknote when he hears a loud crack upstairs.
And then the voice saying, oh, what a loud boop!
That didn't sound like a poop.
Meanwhile, in Diametra's bedroom.
We've been bonding.
Yep.
So I've been painting her nails and I've done her hair. I've been braiding her hair.
And how's that going?
Is it braiding?
Braiding.
Oh, braiding.
But what does Filge braids look like?
Doing her best.
Because Filge has braids, so she knows how to do it.
Yeah, but she didn't do them.
Oh, really? Someone did them for her like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a mess up there. It's a big knot. But there's ribbons on the end of
it. And
the
in
knot.
Spite of herself, Diametra is smiling with the attention, which it seems is quite rare in this family.
And you know, he used to have so much fun together. And I just think in the last few years, we just drifted. He didn't even come to my wedding, you know.
Aw, Slack?
It's all right, I forgave him.
Why he not come to your wedding? Did he give you present at least?
No, but
Slack.
I can't hold him, get that against him, I suppose. He was busy with his work. He hasn't really warmed to me ever since I ran off to the Floatians, you know.
Anyway. Why he no like Floatians?
Oh, I think his father had some squabbles. I never really got into it. It's his business, not mine.
Well, if he loved you so much, you'd hope that he'd leave you something good in his will.
You'd oh, it's so horrid to think. But I suppose maybe we had been getting better the last few weeks. I thought I might even come to visit him, but
You left it too late.
In the secret study overlooking the library, as it seems that no one is coming upstairs for now. And Bobby, you pull delicately out of the crate a couple of things. One is a small bag that clinks. It looks like some emergency funds. And that's you can put that down as 200 gold pieces.
Yeah.
Woo!
You also find a... that wrapped in a big piece of cloth, there is a huge heavy weapon of some sort that is... it's been bound up in white cloth. Which are you going to open?
Yeah.
Okay, you look at it and it has what looks like dwarven or sort of giant's language runes, some kind of language you don't speak, written along the pommel of what is a giant warhammer. Huge double-handed warhammer.
Ooh.
And you can't read the language on it. And then there is also a pile of papers in the crate as well.
Okay, well, sifting through the papers, are there anything that look like journals?
You find there is a slim notebook that seems to be written in a cipher. That is the only thing that you sort of can't understand. The rest of them are books that are about the myths of Daggerford. All of them look like rare first edition copies, possibly books that are difficult to find anymore. And flicking through them, some of them tell the traditional story that Daggerford was founded years ago when a boy with a dagger fought off lizardmen. But there are other theories and there are other stories as well.
Okay, how big is this bundle of papers?
I would say it's about 6 or 7 books. And the top one, as I said, is this handwritten journal that's written in ciphers and has maps. And as you pick it up as well, a piece of paper falls out of it, which is also written in cipher that has been ripped in half.
A clue.
A warhammer.
Knock, knock, knock. Is everything all right in there?
Oh, it's sharp.
Okay, well, just be safe.
You can take everything?
Cool.
You actually can't take... You're probably not strong enough to take the mace. You can take everything else?
Yeah, I'll take everything else.
I'll take the mace and I'll put it into one of my trouser legs. So I limp and I come out and be like, oh, it was a big one. When he limps out of his...
My word. Are you all right?
No.
Do you have any soothing balms for the anus?
The thing that surprises me is you were the one that didn't need to go to the bathroom.
Well, appearances can be deceiving.
I'll see if Cook has anything, I suppose.
Make a deception check.
Okay, oh boy. Yeah, 19 plus you 3.
You hold in there, you brave, brave young man.
Oh, it's terribly sharp.
I can imagine.
Meanwhile, by the fire, Marguerite and Lion Shield Banknote.
Marguerite, you said you were sent away to some sort of temple. What was the why were you sent away?
I was in love.
With who?
A young sailor man named Tobias. He used to sing to me. He was like a diamond on a beach.
What song? What were the songs he would sing?
Oh, the old Kraken's run, jingle all the Christmas men. Happy, happy day, happy, happy day. It's a time to sing. Flying and running and swimming and sinking will fly the night. All the classics.
Okay, so... While Marguerite is singing, Banknote is going to take out his little artificer's kit. And is she wearing like a watch or a brooch or anything? Is there any little bit of jewelry he can like kind of tinker with?
She has a brooch on her high neck collar.
He's going to... Would you mind if I just had a look at that for a moment? And he's going to...
First of all, would she mind?
I promise you well-meaning for this. She has no reason not to trust me.
Who are you shouting at?
There, if that's what you want, I suppose.
And he's going to.
I have to say, you are very, very forward for a man of your station.
So she hands you with a bemused, curious expression in her eye that seems.
Don't
much
lose it, sailor boy.
That seems suddenly much more alert. She hands you the brooch.
He's going to... Banknote is going to do some magical tinkering with the brooch and have it sing that song on command when she wants now.
So you've got to sing the song because you're the one programming it to show us that you know...
No, we remember it from the before.
Yeah, so do it.
Oh, round and round on the thing.
Yes, that's it, yes.
We're happy, we have so much fun because we are on the music.
Papa, papa, on the next verse.
When I was a young man in the place, I had a big thing.
Oh, it takes me back.
And then we went to the fair and rode the carnival games. I won a big penguin. It looked like my mom.
And all across the Hofferman House, a house once famed throughout Daggerford for the genius and prowess of a family on the rise that now centuries of disaster, neglect, and misfortune have laid low. Once again, the fires are stoked and the rooms are filled with the sound of laughter, hair braiding, and singing. Yes, singing. But for sadness can bring with it such happiness and merriment. And for one moment, we can forget the sad, wretched fortunes that are in store. For one moment, we can forget the fearful futures of a cult on the loose and instead spend one happy evening with the Hoffermans and the dragon. Friends, thank you.
The Dragon Friends are Alex Lee, Michael Hing, Eden Lacey, Simon Greiner, and are DM'd by Dave Harmon, with NPC voices by Ben Jenkins and live accompaniments by Tom Cardi. Our guest this week was Carlo Ritchie, playing, frankly, far too many Hoffermans. Shakira Khan designs our website. The podcast is edited, mixed, and mastered by me, Hugh Guest, and episodes are recorded live each month at Giant Dwarf Theatre in Sydney. Until next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.